Welcome to the Tuesday podcast, Fans Takeover. Like we do the second Tuesday of every month, invite my guys down. They do such a good job. This show will have Chad Miller and Jake Bergani. Frank had something come up at the last second, couldn't make it, but we're sure to get him on the next show. And we'll just dive right into this one. You know, Chad and Jake, just want to get your initial thoughts on Colts-Bucks game. Lost 38-35 last Sunday, and for all intents and purposes, ended our you know, hopes and dreams of a playoff run this year, this season. Chad, let's start with you, buddy.
Well, my glass is half full almost all the time, but it's got a heck of a leak in it right now. So I think there's still a few good things to take out of that game, but just cannot play connected football anymore. One team's playing well, the other side of the team's not playing well, and it just looks like things are kind of coming apart at the wheels here a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, Jake, your initial thoughts of the game?
I thought there were a lot of positive takeaways, but with that, a lot of negative takeaways. Like, I thought the pass blocking was not that great. Again, I said it on a prior podcast. I think it's more of a technique and scheme thing. We're not picking up blitzes well, but the run blocking seems fine from what I could tell. The run defense was stout as usual. We had a great run defense. But Jameis Winston had a field day besides those two Darius Leonard interceptions. So still a lot to figure out, it seems.
Hey, do you feel like we're missing Kenny Moore?
Absolutely, man. I was actually getting ready to mention that. You know, Eberflus seems to go into that soft zone defense when he doesn't have one of his key players. Anytime he's missing Hooker, Kenny Moore, or Darius Leonard, he plays that cover two shell zone. And especially when we blitz a lot like we did in this game, it just exposes that middle of the field wide open, just huge, gigantic holes for those guys to run into. Do you guys wish that Eberflus would just kind of abandon, for the most part, the zone principles and kind of stick with the man scheme that has worked kind of in the middle of our season? Chad.
Go ahead. So my opinion is we need to keep shifting things around. I don't want to completely abandon it because I think you do really well if you can keep some quarterbacks guessing and disguise it. But I definitely don't want it to be our first option or even the thing we fall back on. I think we've proved that when we play well in the secondary, we're manning up and we're trying to control the line of scrimmage a little bit better there with the press coverage and taking care of business that way.
Hey, Jake, where are you at with it?
I agree with Chad. I think we need to pick and choose our timing of when we're going to run zone a little bit more. It's not looking too efficient of late, especially when we don't have Kenny Moore. It just seems like there's holes everywhere at times. So I think we need to trust in man a little bit more, but we saw Quincy Wilson on the field last week for the first time in a while, and of course, bang, he gave up a touchdown. I was kind of calling for Marvell Tell. I was a little unhappy, but we'll see what the Colts do in the future with that.
Yeah, I thought Tell should have came on the field. You know, very first play comes out there and touchdown instantly. And I guess anybody who's had Quincy Wilson, why is he not on the field? You know, it's a rough gig, though, guys. You know, you get thrown on the field one play and they attack you. You haven't played in, you know, several games. I think he hasn't really played since that Kansas City game. So, just a tough gig for Quincy Wilson. I don't think it's going to work out with him long term. Got a little IR news. Paris Campbell is going to go to IR. Adam Vinatieri also is going to go to IR. Just wanted you guys' thoughts on how they've handled Adam Vinatieri. I think he came out today and said he's been dealing with that most of the season, actually since last offseason. Could have had a surgery, avoided the surgery, took it into this year, and it cost us a few games. And I think, you know, it's prudent, at least as fans, especially season ticket holders who listen on here, they kind of want to know, how do you feel that the Colts organization as a whole handles these injury situations? You know, I don't want to call anybody a liar in particular, but they don't tell the truth you know, a lot of times. They've really dropped the ball with some big injuries. Andrew Luck, you know, they're very vague when it comes to that. Hey, Jake, I'm going to start with you. How do you feel about the Colts and the way they handle injuries?
Well, it's devastating as a fan. It always leaves uncertainty. It's really nerve-wracking because you never really know what to believe. You think a guy's going to be available, but he's not sometimes. It's really, really stressful. But particularly with Adam Vinatieri, knowing the information that I know now, I think the Colts handled it very poorly. If anything, if there were any doubts of how Vinatieri was going to – how healthy he was going to be this year, I wouldn't have had a problem keeping a second kicker on the roster, honestly, and having the GOAT show him the ropes.
Hey, Chad, what do you think about the injury situation and how they've handled it?
It's just no one player is bigger than the team, right? And when you look at how the Luck situation was handled, you look at how the situation with Vinatieri was handled, it sure seems like these guys had enough clout to call the shots. And, you know, given the people they are, you know, you can kind of understand that. But, you know, looking at it from the fans' viewpoint and looking at it from a little bit of hindsight here, it's cost us a lot. It's cost the coaches, you know, that trust from the fans and from the media itself. So I think it's really damaging.
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you one thing that kind of leads into our next topic, Chris Ballard. I think over the weekend we had a little bit of a back and forth text, a group message going on, especially, you know, me, Chad, and Frank. Frank and I were on the opposite side, but I'm going to say my piece about Chris Ballard, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and your opinions. First and foremost, I want to start off by saying I like Chris Ballard. I think he's a really good talent evaluator. He's overall done a really, really good job with this team. And look, he's been handed a terrible hand. You know, he thought Andrew Luck would be healthy that first season. Then 2 weeks before this season starts, he tells him, hey, we're going to retire. That's a terrible hand for any general manager. But that being said, I think he has to be held a little bit more accountable. I think he gets a little bit of a free pass a lot of times. And my only gripe with him is you know, you've got two ways of building a football team. The old school thoughts were, hey, we're going to be super aggressive, i.e., you know, insert Ryan Grigson, the way he handled things. That's not the right approach. You're not prudent. You're not making good signings. You're just signing everybody, just hoping that you know, it all just kind of pans out. And then you've got the old school Bill Polian mode, which I do believe Chris Ballard kind of follows, built through the draft, go get some glue guys. And then you've got this new school, this new wave of thinking. Started with Bill Belichick. You now see the Seahawks, the Ravens, the Steelers. I think the Packers have kind of adopted a little bit of that. They blend both together. They say, listen, we got to draft well. We got to build that team, get it where we want to. Then we have to capitalize on our draft stock, move up, move back, acquire free agents. You know, and it's just constantly all of these moving parts. Jake, I'm going to start with you. Would you like to see Chris Ballard just be a little more active, you know, on both sides instead of just draft, draft, draft? I want more picks. See him be a little bit more active in the free agency market.
Well, I think up until last season, I think Chris Ballard has done a terrific job crafting this roster that we have now. But I think this next offseason is going to be a very telling one for the type of general manager Chris Ballard is. It's time to spend that money. We don't know who our starting quarterback is going to be next year. The draft, we'll find out a lot from that, what his insights are, what positions he trusts. But you got to think it's time to throw some money around. We need impact players. I really believe that we need just sparks, guys who can come in, make immediate impact, plug them in. You know they're going to make plays.
Hey, Chad, where are you at on this?
Well, for the most part, I think he's doing it right, but I don't think he is aggressive enough, and I'm really hoping that he starts to dabble in the free agency a little bit more. But what I do notice from some of these teams you mentioned, especially the Patriots, because they're up front and in our face all the time, it seems like, or at least we put them there, that they're always willing to cut those guys, right? So you see some big names getting cut from the Patriots or not being signed on a regular basis year in and year out, only to replace with more talent. So I think we need to evaluate that talent system in the free agent market and be able to shift and move quickly through that. But the fan base and the way that the football team talks about it from the general manager's aspect all the way down to the head coach is that they want to have their guys and they want to maintain people, continue to sign them and continue to keep them for long term. And if they stay with that word, it's hard to do what Belichick's doing because Belichick's continually turning over and getting rid of some high-priced guys for other high-priced guys and kind of keeps himself what looks like in some sort of a budget. And I'm not sure that this coaching staff or the organization is going to do that. I'm not sure how the media would react to going away from Anthony Costanzo this year and bringing in another younger or another free agent person. I'm just throwing that name out there as one that would invoke a lot of feelings about.
You know, Chad, you made a fantastic point there with Bill Belichick constantly kind of, you know, churning that roster. One thing that I wrote down, you know, we're getting ready to do an article on ColtsNation365.com. A few years ago, I'll never forget that Bill Belichick traded, I believe, a second-round pick for Coney Ealy. He realized through training camp it was a bad move. Most general managers would have said, no way, man, I just gave a second-round pickup for this guy. Belichick said, look, he's not gonna make it for this football team. We got to move on. There's no pridefulness with the way that Bill Belichick runs a team, and nobody dislikes the Patriots organization more than I do. But, you know, when you look at a guy who does things like that, you just got to think to yourself, you know, if you're Ballard, you just hope the people that he trusts the most and inside of his own mind, he thinks, you know, maybe there is a little bit different way, you know. And I'm not saying go out and just open up the, you know, the checkbook and just sign everybody. What I'm saying is, guys, identify the players that you want. I'm going to use an example, Amari Cooper. Young, good locker room guy. He's got the right age, in the prime of his career, a person who can truly help this organization. Identify those guys and go after them. Be aggressive and realize, look, you're going to pay more money than you want to pay for them. I mean, everybody wants to pay, you know, average, but the market dictates what these guys get, and unfortunately, they're going to get overpaid. And if you want them and you want true stars on your football team, you're going to overpay. So I would just really, really hope that Ballard maybe has a little different way of looking at this offseason, and it'll be very interesting. Going into the next topic, this is going to be topic for that we'll be talking about for months and months and months, and we'll start with you, Chad. Quarterback, I've seen enough Jacoby Brissett to know that I think we need a new quarterback. I want to draft a quarterback. Chad, what say you?
I say draft one. I'm scared to death that we won't. So, again, it's that loyalty thing coming from the organization. Are they ready to move on from Brissett? Obviously, they're looking. But I think it's time. I just I think we need to kind of temper our expectations of what the next guy brings in, because you enter into a system, in my opinion, that's not going to be any better than we are now, but you'll have more upside coming in the future. But the first year with a new quarterback's always going to be rough.
Hey, Jake, where are you at with the quarterback?
I couldn't agree more with Chad. I really think we need a quarterback, but I am terrified that we're not going to draft one because of that whole loyalty thing. How much the locker room does like Brissett. I think it'll be tough for them to tell him that they're moving on and he might slide to the backup position again or just completely cut ties, but most likely not that. But either way, this season with Brissett, he has been working with a bunch of undrafted free agents. I mean, these guys out of college really didn't have a huge skill set. So I think if we're going to go out of our way to draft a quarterback, we got to either be willing to sign a big-name free agent, trade for one, or draft one really high up in the draft.
You know, you guys make a really good point, and I'm glad that you both brought it up. You know, that loyalty. One thing that scares me a little bit, and if anything that we've learned from Chris Ballard, history repeats itself with him a lot. He's very comfortable with certain situations that he's been in throughout his career, even before he became a general manager. And one thing that I have in my head right now was that Alex Smith, you know, Rex Grossman, those teams he was a part of all operated without franchise quarterbacks, trying to build these really solid, you know, defenses, get a lot of turnovers. But those teams don't win championships. At the end of the day, they get you to a ton of playoffs, or they're just they win games during the regular season, but they can't get those championships. And I'm just hoping that Ballard, you know, strikes gold. And I want to get one more thought process on you guys on the quarterback. You know, I'm a big fan of drafting a quarterback. If you get your guy in the first round, you go after him. I don't like dumpster diving. I don't like, you know, going for that third and fourth round quarterback. Maybe you can develop them, and maybe you get lucky and you get a Russell Wilson. But, guys, that's just very, very rare that you end up getting a guy outside of the first round that turns out to be an elite quarterback of your future. So what's your thoughts on drafting a quarterback? Are you all in on that first round pick, or are you good with drafting somebody late and developing them? We'll start with Jake on this one.
So there's two scenarios I've thought about. If the Colts continue to lose and maybe we end up with a pick around like 11 to 15-ish, I would like to definitely trade up and get into the top five or top six at least and get the guy we want. But if we end up winning a couple games late in the year and we end up between maybe like 16 and 20, I wouldn't be opposed to maybe trading back a little bit, because I don't think a lot of the teams in the middle would be looking for a quarterback. So I would be looking to trade into the late first round.
Hey, Chad, where are you at with it?
Man, I think it depends on how the draft falls out, right? So this isn't going to be a very fun year for Chris Ballard. I expect some of that pretty hair to be falling out. But there's a lot of scenarios that can play out. I hope – they're aggressive at going after whatever it is that they want. But no matter what they do, I think they need to add some competition. And why not let Kelly have some competition coming out this year at the end of the year to see what he can do. And that may paint a better picture for what they have to do coming forward.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be something I think fans would maybe like to see the last couple of games. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I don't think that the organization even wants that thought, even the smallest seed planted of Chad Kelly in there. I don't think they want that distraction. But I'm a big, you know, if you've got your guy, I move up, man. Just like Jake said, I go all in. I get inside that top five. You're probably going to have to get to three ahead of the Dolphins if you want to have a chance to get that second quarterback. We're not going to get Joe Burrow. Chris Ballard – A, is never in a million years going to give up that much draft capital, and B, I just can't see the Bengals, you know, just not drafting their quarterback. It's a simple choice. You take the best quarterback in the draft and you move on. But I also see a scenario if we do not trade up. I just feel in my bones, and I don't know how you guys feel about this guy, and we'll get off the quarterbacks, but I feel like Tua could slip to us wherever we fall in that middle of the pack, 11 to 15 range. Would you guys be okay with taking Tua, or are you just scared to death of another injury-prone quarterback? Let's start with you, Chad.
I think I'm okay with it, and I'm not sure where the draft stock is for Love and how far he's going to rocket up the list, but if Tua's there and you don't have to give up any more stock, I mean, we still have a few more pieces, but some improvement to this system may put us right where we need to be.
Hey, Jake, where are you at with Tua?
If Tua was there between wherever our draft pick lands, wherever between 10 and 20, I guess, I would definitely jump on that, but I have to be honest with you, I would be terrified. I would be very nervous because of what happened with Andrew Luck, how the whole Peyton Manning era ended. We just have a bad relationship with quarterbacks staying healthy. So I would definitely be nervous, but I don't think you can pass up on that type of opportunity.
Absolutely, man. So I guess the million-dollar question, you know, I was talking to Kevin Bowen off the air, I think on Monday. He's been putting a poll out, and I just kind of thought it'd be fun to put it on our podcast here. We'll start with Chad. Are you the type of fan that wants us to win? You just love seeing us win? Or do you want us just to tank for the rest of the season and get the best possible pick in this draft that we can? Chad, what are you thinking on that?
Tank.
Tank, man.
I want to watch good football, but at this point, my mind is 90% on the draft, and that's where I'm at. I'm okay with it.
All right, Jake, where are you at, buddy?
If you're really a fan of your sports team, as obviously we all are of the Colts, all you want is a championship. Now that a championship is not happening this season, all eyes on next year. I would love to see three more losses.
Yeah, man, I tell you, it's difficult. And as a fan, I've thought about this all day long because I thought, man, I'm going to bring this up on the podcast and where am I at? And I think, honestly, if I were a fly on the wall and I knew that Chris Ballard were going to draft a quarterback in the first round, I would say tank. However, if I didn't know that 100%, the fan of me loves to see this team compete and win. But I want the best possible draft pick. I'm kind of with you guys on that. I'm scared to death that we're going to try to get a quarterback in the second and third round and develop them, which is all fine and dandy. Man, guys, it makes it real hard to get a quarterback and to hit big on a quarterback if you don't draft them in that. And those, I mean, historically, top 20 picks for quarterbacks. I mean, those guys, I mean, the percentage chances of those guys being really good in the NFL are so much higher than 21 and down. I mean, it's just crazy. The numbers. I wish I would have written them down. I'm going to actually put that out on the website and tweet it out later. I had that in my notes. So guys, last time of the year that you guys are coming on, next year, week one, is Jacoby Brissett the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? Jake, you go first.
Yeah, he's going to be. I think he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Even if we draft somebody, I think we're gonna probably, you know, move them along. Hey, Chad, where are you at? Is Jacoby our starter week one next year?
Yeah, I think he will be. And Zach, as you were speaking earlier about the percentage drop offs, I was also thinking about how bad that percentage is from pick one to pick 20. It's not near as secure as you would ever want it to be, is it?
No, man. I mean, it's just crazy to think that, you know. And I hope we're gonna have a lot of time to discuss this. I'm right now currently putting a draft team together. I've got a couple of guys already signed up. We're gonna do scouting. That's kind of, you know, that's the MO from Colts Nation 365, is that we love football year round and we just don't stop thinking about free agency and draft. So that's an exciting time for me. It's my first time I'll ever be doing podcasts where people can actually say, okay, this is what he said. We can reference back to what Zach said, and then you can just beat the hell out of me when I'm wrong. But I'll pat my own self on the back when I'm right, and I really think that that'll be some fun stuff coming up ahead. But, guys, Jake, Chad, I just wanted to thank you so much, man, for being a part of my show this year. So cool to have you guys. I'm just glad I've got to meet you. And one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this show was get to know people just like you. Awesome, awesome, awesome Colts fans. So, Chad and Jake, Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you, man. Opportunity of a lifetime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Chad, you take care, man. You have a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.
It's been really fun. Thank you.
Yes, sir.